We discussed last week the challenges that face every couple. The idea that everyone is shocked at some point in the beginning of their marriage. It could be the first night, it could be the first week, it could be the first month, it could be the first year or the first 2 or 3 years. People suddenly realize, hey, wait a second, what's going on here? This is the person I married? Wait, how am I going to make this work? And we have to make a mental switch. I am with this person forever. It's not a question of will I make it work. It's a question of how will I make it work. That's a very pivotal shift that a person has to make. It's not natural. It's mind over matter. It's a decision a person has to make. Every marriage requires work. And marriage can be beautiful provided that you're willing to work. There is a word that should never show up in the home. And that is the word divorce. When we mention it, then we are saying, we are taking out a weapon in the house. And you never know how that weapon will be used. In the United States, they have a rule. You don't threaten with a gun. You take out a gun when you're ready to shoot. Because if you take it out as a threat, then perhaps the person will be able to overpower and use the gun against you. So you don't threaten with a gun. A gun is only taken out when you're ready to shoot. And the same is true with the word divorce. You don't threaten with divorce. You don't discuss divorce. Because when a person says it, we've seen numerous times where there was a woman who kept saying, you're going to divorce me, you're going to divorce me. And before she knew it, he did divorce her. There was a woman who said, the way you're behaving, we should get divorced. She didn't mean it. She meant change your behavior. But at some point, he got fed up. And one day, she found herself with an invitation to get divorced. And before she knew it, she was divorced. And she keeps saying she doesn't know how she got there. She realizes she brought it upon herself. There's an identical story with a guy who used to threaten his wife and say, you want to get divorced? And one day, she had enough. And he found himself with divorce proceedings when he never really meant it. And as upset as a person is, this is not to be used as a threat. I've personally witnessed so many times where the people found themselves divorced and they really did not want to get there. And they were the ones who brought it up as an option. Divorce is not an option. The question is, how will we make it work? What can we do to make it better? How can we resolve our differences? There has to be an agreement. We don't joke about it. We don't discuss it. Now, you have to understand that men and women are different. And built into the male psyche is a fight or flight mechanism. Meaning it's very natural for a guy, when things get rough, to say, I've had it. Boom. And built into the male psyche is this idea of there are better options. I don't have to put up with this. You guys ever hear that line? It's not true. You do have to put up with this. But the male psyche is such that men get fed up. Talmud tells us it's a male weakness. Women get upset. But it's a male weakness to feel like, I want out. I want my freedom. I don't have to put up with this. That's not the approach. The approach is, it's difficult. It's the most difficult thing I've ever done. This is really not fun. And now we have to figure out how to make it better. How do we make it better? So I'm going to tell you something funny, which will you know, just leave you with food for thought. When I was teaching Bnei Akiva guys, so I wanted to show them, these were madrichim in Bnei Akiva, I wanted to show them how you can make any class interesting. So I said to them, what we're going to do now is look at the floor and pick something up, and then you're going to give class about it for 5 minutes. And I want you to discuss the meaning of what you're going to pick up. So everyone, look down on the floor and pick up the first thing you see. So one pick up One guy picks up a cigarette butt, and another guy picks up a branch, and another guy picks up a half a dead leaf, and a third guy picks up a used tea bag, and each guy picks up something else. And I say, okay, now talk about it. Give yourself 2 minutes, prepare a class. So could you pass me that cup, please? Thank you very much. Okay. So I want you all to look at this tea bag. This is no ordinary tea bag. Do you understand how much work went into this tea bag? There's paper. There are dried leaves. So many people worked for us to have the benefits of this tea. So when we look at this tea, we have to wonder, can we ever show the appreciation? Think about God. God created a world with paper, with plants, with people who will make you this cup of tea. You notice how you could take a dry tea bag and talk about it for 5 minutes and get out a real message. It's real. It's not fake. Well, the same is true when you want to build your relationship with your wife. There is nothing you can't discuss to make your relationship great, if you want to. Okay, let's take an example. Honey, to make it great. Yes. Honey, I saw this tea bag and I thought of you. Oh, yes? Why do tea bags remind you of me? Well, I looked at the tea bag and I said to myself, someone had to work to get water, someone had to work to get plants, someone had to work to make paper. All of it comes together. You got one cup of tea. You work so hard. You put everything together. You go to the store. You buy things. You cook. You make everything ready. You put it in the fridge. You reheat it. You know, what's a tea bag? But you're so much more than that. Sounds funny. But you can compliment anything. So I'm not so good at this. But the truth is that if we'd only invest a little bit of thought, there is so much to compliment. There is so much to show appreciation. And there's, again, the devil's in the details. If you can look at details, women are focused on details much more than men. That's why they wrap things nicely. That's why they care about what color the mascara is and what color the eyeshadow and what color the makeup and what color the lipstick. And everything matters. What color their fingernails and their toenails and which bracelet and which necklace and which head covering and which blouse and which shoes. Come on. You know, us guys, what's the big deal? Shirt and pants, right? Okay. To them, every detail matters. Should I make my eyebrows this way or that way? I don't know, right? She asked the guy. No, you do know. Stop and think about it. If you want to, you can take every detail, compliment, show appreciation, and through that, create connection. Real connection. And what I was showing the guys in the Akiva is the ability to create real messages from anything. Because there's godliness in everything, and there's greatness in anything. We live in a world that's filled with greatness. It's not a game. It's real. And the same is true. There's real appreciation to show in everything we look at. And there's real potential for connection in anything. I'll end with a quick story. The story goes back to the Holocaust. There was a woman named Esther Rosemary, who was very talented and very sharp. And she was in charge of the soup kitchen. And she, because she was in charge of the soup kitchen, so she took advantage of her position to try and help all kinds of people. And she heard that in the next village over, there was an old man who needed extra food. And so she would siphon off some food in the kitchen, risking her own life, and figure out ways to send someone to that man to bring him extra food. Now, the deal was that that old man could not look out the door. This way, no one was in danger. He didn't know who was bringing him the food. If he ever was caught, he wouldn't be able to snitch on anyone. They didn't know who they were bringing the food to. Only the old woman, she was young then, Esther Rosemary, knew. But this is what she did. And one day, the old man heard that they're going to deport his camp. And so when the food came, he held out his hand and he signaled the person who brought the food, wait. And then he passed him a little package. And in that package was a note. And the note said, bring this to the woman who sent the food and tell her that I bless her. She should wear this and Hashem will protect her for the rest till this war is over. Now, in that package was a little bit of thread that he was able to put together and twigs, which he sewed together. He sewed together the twigs into a little bracelet. And he blessed her, wear this bracelet, and Hashem should bless you and protect you until you make it out of the war. And she kept that bracelet. She wore that bracelet because she felt, I have the blessing of the man whose life I saved. So when would we ever think to make a bracelet out of a little bit of twigs? Well, you know what? I don't think your wife will be too happy with a bracelet made of twigs. This woman felt, I'm saving the life of a holy Jew, this old man, and that's why she cherished that bracelet. But I'm saying it's an example for us. It's not a question of how much money you spent. It's a question of how much thought you've invested, and you could take little things, and they could be sources of great connection.